Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful, cool morning. Sounds like we have a cool day ahead of us. I didn't see a cloud in the sky out there earlier. Our opening hymn is not in your booklet, and there are copies by the door. I tried to catch most people as they came in, but grab one of those. It's hymn 177. Almighty maker of my frame, short is the measure of my days. Give me to know how frail I am and spend the remnant to thy praise. Hymn 177 that we'll ask Brother Virgil Reed to follow with an opening prayer.
Our most glorious eternal Father, all power, honor, and glory be to thy holy name. We want to thank you, Father, again for the rest that you have provided us with. Now this new opportunity to again hear thy word expounded unto us. Pray that it will open our hearts and our minds, that we may be better servants unto thee. We thank you, Lord, that we have been given the privilege of knowing the purpose of this earth, the purpose of each of us, if we will follow thy precepts and thy commandments and overcome until the end. We pray for thy blessings upon us throughout this day. We pray for those that need help, that need care, that need healing and comfort. Also, protect and guide and direct those that are on their way home at this time. We thank you, O Lord, for thy marvelous plan for your Son, Jesus Christ, that he was able to overcome the sin nature that we bear. Help us in our struggles and forgive us our trespasses. We seek all thy blessings and thy care and thy mercy. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our exhortation this morning is going to be given to us by Brother Taylor Carson. And he's asked that we read Psalm 39. So we'll turn to Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even for good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man from iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence and be no more. And we'll give our attention to Brother Taylor. His title is The Frailty of Man.
Good morning. Bring greetings from the Richmond Hall Ecclesia, and like my father, invite all of those who may be in the area to join us. In thinking of what to talk about this morning, thought to myself, what made me, what came towards the decision for me to become a brother in Christ? I was baptized about 3 years ago, and it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made. Going back to that time, one big influence that happened at that time, or around that time, was I had just started to volunteer at the local rescue squad. I became an EMT through high school, obtained the needed certifications to drive, be in the back as an attendant, went through training, and about a year or so later was able to drive and provide on my own. And since then, I've increased my level of certification to be able to help patients further. I spend about 12 hours a week, if not more, sometimes up to 36 hours at a time, hopefully being able to sleep in between, serving the community. And I bring this up mainly because of the experiences that I've had. Unlike some people that I work with, I can say that I have not seen everything out there, but honestly, there's not a lot that surprises me anymore. I can see blood and some horrifying injuries. I have seen many, and you know, it really doesn't bother me anymore, but for those with weak stomachs, I won't go into details. Early on, though, I was almost in a state of culture shock to find out what actually happens in the world around us. Some things that you might see on the news or TV and think, well, this is a small community. That really doesn't happen here. How wrong I was. Some cases, you know, things happen on the other side of the county or close by, and in other cases, they happen right down the street to people you know or grew up with. Growing up as a Christadelphian, I never really was exposed to alcohol or drugs or anything like that because that's something that we generally don't partake of. And as such, you know, I can detect the smell of alcohol in someone's breath across the room, which has come in handy on more than one occasion. And going to college is no exception to that. The college that I went to, we ended up, is right in my first due from our squad, and we end up going there every now and then to pick up someone for having a little too much to drink, but this could be its own topic, and I won't go into that either. But these experiences made it become very evident to me that baptism and walking on the straight and narrow path towards the kingdom was the way that I wanted to go. It became more clear to me with the signs of the times, just the darkness and the corruption of this world and how evident it is. The passages in Scripture describing the time of the end became very eye-opening and very applicable, and I felt there was no better time to confess my faith. I mentioned that not much surprises me anymore when going on calls, but there are really two things that will still get me from time to time, and that is what people will do to each other and what people do to themselves. So we'll take a look at that this morning. Regarding what people can do to each other, let's look at a very familiar parable that Christ gives in John chapter 10, verse 30 to 35. John 10, 30 through 35. And Jesus, answering, said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came down and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, 'Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" Here Christ tells about a man who was robbed and beaten, and we really aren't given a reason why here, whether it be from a prior conflict or conversation, but in this situation it really doesn't matter as we're looking at the event that it actually happened. And the fact is, it happens in daily life here in this world. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1, verse 7 through 15. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of my knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie wait for blood,' Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with a spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. To look at one side of the parable, going back to the parable of the Good Samaritan, we are taught to help others in need. Christadelphians have never been, to my knowledge, been known to not be hospitable. While today, most people would call 911 and wait for responders to take over, we can look at this at a spiritual level. We need to be there for one another and help one another in time of need. We should be proactive with this as well. If we see a brother or sister or friend who is struggling, we need to go over and help them. Even if they're just having a bad day, take them under your wing and ask how you can help. Let's shift and take a moment to discuss what people do to themselves. And this is a small war story, but it's not graphic at all, but it is very relevant. I had a coworker once tell me about a patient who was working a standby at a shrimp festival. They described a woman who filled her plate with easily 50 to 75 shrimp, sat down at a table close to them, peeled all of them, and had them ready to eat. And as she was about to start eating, she pulled out an EpiPen, which is used to counteract an allergic reaction. So she pulled it out from her purse and injected it right into her thigh, as you would do if you were having a reaction. As you can imagine, the crew that was sitting nearby was very interested to see what would happen next. The woman then proceeded to consume all of the shrimp on her plate rather quickly, and as she finished, stood up and walked over to the crew. As you might expect, as you and I might expect, she was already starting to break out into hives. Upon the providers questioning the woman, she says that she is deathly allergic to shellfish. She then proceeded to tell them that she absolutely loves shrimp, and this is the only time of the year that she can indulge herself. As you can imagine, the stunned look that they had, hearing that she has done this before, many times actually, she goes to the pharmacy and gets an EpiPen just for this event, to prevent an allergic reaction. I tell you this story as a sort of a parable that has a deep spiritual lesson. As we walk on the straight and narrow path to the kingdom, we know that certain behaviors are not permitted. As brothers and sisters in Christ, some things we should avoid. And then we have to ask ourselves, is our behavior acceptable to God? Is there something we can do, or indulge in, maybe once a year, once a month, something like that, that can distract us or hurt us? Does it pull us off of that straight and narrow path? And if it does, how hard is it to get back on that path? The woman in this story was surprised to find from the providers that told her that the more and more that she consumed shrimp, the worse her reactions would get, and sometimes the quicker they would onset. She was also surprised to find that with each reaction, the more epinephrine was needed to counteract it, because her body has come accustomed to it. Every time she had a reaction, she put herself at a greater risk from being able to counteract it. And this is true for us as well. Each time we fall off of that straight and narrow path, it's that much harder to get back on. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when the lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they might make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Some familiar verses here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Another realization from my experience is just how fragile life is. We are thankful for every day that we have in our mortal bodies, and we know that in time they will fail us in some fashion in years to come. We are reminded from the dust of the ground that we came from, and so shall we return. Initially, this can be somewhat frightening and saddening, but it is all part of God's plan, and faith is required in order to see that. We are told in Scripture how man does not know the time of Christ's return. Many brothers over the years have estimated when they believe that Christ will return, and obviously some dates have come and gone. We are told that our lamps should be burning, full of oil and fully clothed, ready to go, as in the time of the Passover. What happens when you get to the edge of that cliff and are indulging yourself, as the woman was with her allergic reaction? How much does it take to get back on that straight and narrow path? And how much more is it likely that you will do it again? The real question is, what happens if Christ returned when you were in that situation, on the edge of the cliff? Something to think about. We know that Christ's return is soon, and we can only hope and pray that our wait, and for some, our sleep, is short. In conclusion, we'll look at Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 7. My son, forget not my law, but thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise unto thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Taylor. We will now dismiss to our classes.